good morning, family. Let's stand together and worship the Lord together. Good to see you guys. I want to, just after that song, I just want to start real quick in prayer. Is that okay? Yeah, let's do that this morning as we get ready to worship the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us up this morning and bringing us together. God, we do pray this morning that you would lead us to the foot of the cross. We'd be reminded of the gospel. Give us a heart and a mind that rehearses the gospel again this morning and give us a sense of appreciation and a new sense of love for you. We pray this together as we get ready to start our day in worship together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, good morning. I just have a couple of really quick announcements for you as we get going. So the first one is the Corn Maze is coming up this Wednesday. Who's going? Who's going? There we go. There we go. That is about 100 less hands than I would like to see at the actual corn maze. But I'm excited. Looking forward to seeing you guys. Imagine this. You're walking through a maze, and everyone you see is either someone that you are praying for, someone that is praying for you, someone that knows you well and loves you deeply. Like, that's pretty cool. So come on out to the corn maze. Bring family and friends. It's just going to be us. It's just going to be family there. So this will be a really, really good time. That is this coming Wednesday. Register online on Church Center. Next is, and this is pretty cool, we have a very, very exciting event coming up this Saturday, September 21st. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, because if you know that you're going. In the Refinery, 5:30 is going to be a marriage game night. I've been to something similar to this. These things are epic fun. If you're not registered, please register. This is a great excuse for a game night. Go online again, Church Center. Sign up. There's going to be food. There's going to be games. Will there be prizes? Yeah, there are going to be prizes. I'm going to win them. So you can come, just you won't beat me in the game where we get prizes. That'll be cool. It's going to be a great time. Big name celebrities, Chris and Suzanne Harding, are going to be there. It's going to be a great time. So come on out to that. And then lastly, this is near and dear to my heart. You guys know why this is near and dear to my heart, right? Because it involves food. Duh. Chili Cook-Off is coming up here. This is going to be, I can't see the day. Oh, there it is. October 29th. This is going to be here. Again, you want to register. Tracy Hamill, do we still need judges for this, or are we in business? We do need judges. I know I'm one. So we do still need judges for that. So make sure you see Tracy Hamill in two ways. One, you want to check her out. She'll be right out this door at a table, circle table, right before you can leave. That'll give you a chance to register for the marriage game night. And also you can see her about how you can help out and get connected to the Chili Cook-Off as well. So make sure you go out this door. It is my left, your right. Go out that way, go out the front, and then you'll see Tracy on the circle table. So make sure you stop there. Cool? Awesome. Awesome. Love you guys. It's good to be here with you worshiping. We're going to continue to lift our voices together as we turn our eyes, turn our hearts this morning together to Jesus. Let's lift our voices together.
Son of God gave his life for us, and Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Mike's been watching a lot of Old Testament stuff, so there's Bible stories and things like that. So I just think back to the promise of salvation that travels through all of biblical history. Lord, and then meets us here today. God, this morning, we just want to confess together that the gospel still works, that still the most important thing for us to know is to know you, to trust in you, and that it's still powerful to change, not just after we die, but to change everything after we put our trust in you. Lord, this morning, we just are freshly reminded of how great you are. We're freshly reminded of your great love for us. And so, God, as we continue to worship and in our giving, as we worship in our fellowship, as we worship through hearing your word and through changing in light of your word, God, we just pray that you would continue to make these thoughts, make these things just present in our mind. God, we praise you for all of who you are, for all that you've done throughout all of history. God, we recognize you as the King of all things, the King of this universe. So God, we thank you that we have time to come together and to worship you and to praise you. God, we pray that you will bless the rest of our time together. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. And my kid friends, you guys can head on over to Kids Church. Love y'all. See you later.
Morning, Perry Hall. Praise forever to the King of Kings. Boy, we have a lot to be to praise our Lord for. And October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So we are, absolutely. We are very thankful and praise God for our pastors. Where's Chip? Chip, would you come on down? Come on, Chip. I'm Ron Schlick. I'm on the elder team. Fred Walker, as well as Chip Hamill. Bob Meistering is home. He's not well. Him and Debbie are recovering, so we're praying for you, brother. Pastor Dave, Cindy, Chris, Suzanne, if you could come up. Mark Thayer, if you could come up also as a representative of the deacons, that would be awesome, brother. Well, they are. We are so blessed. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. So if you're visitors here or new members, we have six elders, four lay elders with Chip, Fred, and I, and Bob, and Pastor Chris and Pastor Dave are our staff elders. And just to give a little bit of our setup here. So we are excited. We love these guys. I had to write down my notes because our love grows deep amongst us six. We are very close, and I love with our precious time when we get together with these gentlemen, and we see their hearts on display every day, and we are privileged to see that. I have a couple verses I just want to read where the Lord is charging us with regards to our pastors. In 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And then what we just studied in 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, we ask you, brothers, and as Pastor said, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Thank you for loving the Word of God. Thank you for preaching the truth. Thank you for preaching the whole Word of God. And thank you for loving and caring for us. That love runs so deep, and you guys wear it on your sleeves. Thank you. And to Cindy and Suzanne, thank you for sharing your husbands with us. We know the many meetings and times, and it can be strenuous, and you guys just constantly show your love and appreciation. Thank you. And thank you both also for going above and beyond for serving our church family. Thank you very much. And thank you for being faithful to our Lord and Savior. Thank you. And to all four of you, we appreciate you. Yeah. We love you very much as a church family. And we are honored, Dave and Chris, to call you our pastors, and Cindy and Suzanne as part of our family. We love you all very much. Thank you.
Does that make them pastorettes?
Yes.
Okay. Careful. Careful.
Careful. And we have a couple, some gifts here for you for Ada. That's fine. Now I'm going to pass the mic over to Fred, who's going to pray. If I could ask you four to stand in front of us, we're going to put our hands on you and pray.
Father in heaven, this is a great and glorious time in your church when we get to honor and lift up our two pastors, Pastor Chris, Pastor Dave, for their contribution to the kingdom, Lord God, for their unwavering, tireless service to this church body. And Lord, you know the people in this church, and we're all a mess. And we all have come at some point to for counsel, for wisdom. And every Sunday we come for preaching and teaching from God's word. And we're so grateful that you've equipped these men with those gifts that they are great shepherds, Lord. They watch over us, they care for us, they love us, and it's obvious by the way that they live their lives and the interest that they take in each of our lives. So be with them, protect them, Father, as they continue to mature and to grow and to love you and to love us. Some of us a little maybe unlovable at times, but they just have a great spirit about them. They love each one of us, Lord. And I'm just grateful for Cindy and Suzanne, and their, as Ron was saying, that their support, their love for the Lord, their love for their husbands, and their love for our people here at this church. It's in all things that we pray, Lord. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we love you, and we love this church, and we love Dave and Chris. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Chris and I always comment often about this special moment to be honored as your pastors. So just to keep it short and sweet, we love you so very much. It's a little humbling to stand up and to get a gift or a reward for serving, because we do it because not only God's call in our lives, because we love you so much. So thank you so much for being in this journey with us together. I'd like to take now the time to invite up J.J. and Kathy Rasmussen. J.J. and Kathy, if you could come up, please. Cindy, I gave you the wrong thing. Give me that back. Just stay here. We're going to be good. This is for you. This is for me. Thank you. I'll give this to you, J.J. Thank you. You guys can come over here. Well, it's so good to have J.J. and Kathy with us today. We were spending some time together just before the church service, and was reminded that J.J. and Kathy first went to the mission field in the 80s. So 85, and I guess as part of a mission from this church at that time as well. So we're approaching 40 years of a partnership together with you folks, and what a thrill it is to have them here with us. They've been here for a couple days. They're going to stay another week or so. We've had opportunities to have them share in different contexts, but this is really good for them to be up front now, to be able to share just a little bit with you. They spend most of their time now as consultants in the translation of the Bible field, but this Bible here is so cool. This is Kitab O-Tuhan, which is Book of God. Book of God in the language of Mobog language. JJ and Kathy, and they're, I guess, a team, or primarily you, brother, he translated this into that language. It includes Genesis, Ruth, and several other books of the Old Testament, and it includes the entire New Testament that God used JJ and Kathy to translate this in so that people could have the Bible in their language. What an amazing blessing, and we're glad to have you here as somebody who loves the Word and continues to help other translators now so that we can finish the race of translating God's Word into every language in the world. Doesn't that sound kind of awesome? In the next few years, that's going to happen. This Bible that JJ translated is part of our library here at church, and if you would like to look at it at some point, I told them I can't even do English, so this is amazing to me, and such a blessing to have you guys with us. So let's start off. Just tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you're doing now.
Yeah, my name is JJ Rasmussen, and this is
Kathy.
Kathy is from Baltimore, Towson. I was born and raised in a place way up in the North Atlantic called the Faroe Islands. And if any of you like soccer, you may have heard of the Faroe Islands. They're very good soccer players. But it's just a small group of islands way up north. Kathy and I became members of Perry Hall back in 81. And as Pastor said, in the 1985, we went to the Philippines. And we lived in the Philippines from 1985, 86, till 2016. That's 30 years. And then in 2016, we moved to Italy. We wanted to become a little more international, so. But we ended up moving to Italy to help our daughter, Heidi and Rayan. They're also supported by Perry Hall. But my work is still the Philippines. I work as a translation consultant. And a consultant, you know, is somebody who no longer can do what they used to be able to do, so now they're telling others how to do it. So it's a lot of fun. So I work with translators in the Philippines, and right now I'm involved in 7 different translation projects. And I spend 3 months a year in the Philippines on location, working with translators, and then 9 months I'm working. It's just done, what do you call it, distance, something like that. Remote, that's it. That's a fancy word. Remote, I work remote. So that's done on the computer, and then I'm corresponding with the translators. So it's just a huge privilege to do that. And just to show you a little bit what we're up against as we translate, behind us you have 3 words. Huh? The top word is in Hebrew, shalom. Then the middle is peace, that's shalom. And underneath is irene, which is Greek for peace, okay? In our language, the language I grew up speaking, it's frier. In Danish, it's fred. In German, it's ro. Italian, pace. And you have all these words in the different languages for peace. But when we translated into Molbok, we didn't have a single word that we could translate peace. We had to look at each context, and we had to translate in a lot of different ways. And that's just a small example of what you're up against when you translate. And it's a tedious work, takes a lot of time, a lot of patience. There are times when you may have spent a week, 2 weeks, a month working on something, and then just have to trash it, start over again. And basically what we're up against is, you know, when you hear something that you don't understand, you go like this. Huh? And then once you understand it, this relaxes and your mouth opens. You go. So that's our work. It's to get this to relax and this to open. Hmm. And when that happens, you go, okay.
It's good. Very, very good.
So Kathy has some prayer requests.
Well, before we do that, tell us a little bit about, so that's what you're doing now. What would you say biggest joys of what you guys get to do? You know, that God is doing through you. What brings you the greatest joy these days?
For any of you who know anything about the Philippines, it would be to eat balut. No, I'm just kidding. No, the biggest joy, seriously, is to enjoy the blessings of having served the Lord for many, many years.
Amen.
And the benefits of that. You can never, ever ever outgive God. Mm. And if you give this much to God, he's going to give this much back. So at this stage in life, to just be able to enjoy God's, you know, God's grace and what God gives you back, you'll never, ever, ever lose out serving the Lord.
JJ, do you get a chance when people receive the Bible for the first time in their language? Have you been in with someone when that actually happens and they for the first time find this treasure in God's Word that they can now read?
Yeah, I have had that, and that has been a huge blessing. And but I've experienced also where a missionary introduced me to a Moldbook person, and he told the Moldbook person, I never met him before, this is the guy who translated the Bible into our language. And the guy just looked at me like, thank you. And he was just, wow. I mean, so that experience to know that this book is now going out, and it's huge. I just got a request just this week for more Bibles to be sent down. And then we also have it in audio. And for people, you know, I hear about people listening. One guy told me that as he's working on the rice fields, he has his Bible with him. Hmm. And, you know, people sitting in huts reading the Bible. These are all Muslims. They're all Muslims. I had the son of an imam that helped me as I was translating large sections of it. And it is a huge, huge blessing. And just the fact that, you know, these are people who, yeah, they're Muslims. And naturally, they would hate the Bible, but I've seen a lot of them fall in love with this book.
Amen, amen. How can we be praying for you guys?
I was going to say one other thing. The joy of seeing someone that is so confused by the Word, and then when it's written in their language, and when JJ said relax, to see someone that all of a sudden the light goes on. Mm. And they see this God who they thought was a strict, terrible God, that they see that he's a God of love. He's a God who sent his own son as a sacrifice. And one joy that we had is one day a Muslim man came to our house, and it was Easter day, and we had a medical clinic. We were suturing all day long a man that had been terribly ripped apart by a water buffalo. And another man came to the house, and he said, I just want to tell you this. He said, you know how we make sacrifices for the dead one? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I just realized that God's Son made that sacrifice for me. When I die, I don't want any sacrifices made for me, because it's been already been made on my behalf by the Son of God.
Amen.
And it makes everything
amen.
Worth it.
Absolutely.
So I would ask that you continue to pray, please, for the Moldbook people, that as they continue to read his Word, more and more come to him. We have a whole team working in the jungle with them, a Filipino team. And right, JJ said that he's working on 7 different translations right now all over the Philippines. And we get to go in. We fly out November 16th back to the Philippines. And we have the very last check with a new language that's been translated for years and years and years. And this will be the very last check. And then the people will have the New Testament in their language. And so we just pray for wisdom, for safety and travel, but most of all for the receiving, those that are receiving these 7 different languages, that once they have the Word in their language, that their hearts will be open to His Word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for all that you guys are doing as the Lord works through you. We are so grateful for this long-term partnership, and we pray that God will continue to allow us to be a part of as long as He's using you guys. Let me come in the middle of you and pray. You can put that down. Just hold it down. Well, Father, what a joy it is to be with Kathy and JJ. Thank you for the work you're accomplishing through them. Father, thank you for this Bible in front of us that allows people to come to know you and to read and to learn the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language. Father, what a joy, what a gift, what a blessing. And Father, we're grateful for this work that you've called JJ and Kathy and so many others too, so that we can finish this race of translating your Word into every language. But Father, the end of all of that is that people would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so, Father, thank you for their ministry. Thank you for your protection upon their lives. Thank you for the heart that they still have nearly 4 decades after beginning. We're grateful for the excitement they still share to see people come to to hear for the first time in their language the wonderful, glorious Word of God. Father, may we, as we hear these stories, Father, may it provoke in us a refreshing new desire for your Word. Father, may we not take your Word for granted as those that have it in our language. Father, may it continue to be something that we delight in. Father, may we cling to your Word. May we meditate on your Word, Father, as a means of knowing you more deeply, to building a stronger relationship with you, Father, and that it may cause us to run out into the streets and tell people about Jesus Christ. So thank you for them. We love them, Lord. We cherish our partnership, and we pray your continued blessing upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
With a little more joy and great appreciation, will you open the Bible in the language that we speak to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jody. You remember last week, Jody was supposed to be up here reading the scriptures and had forgotten to come up. So we gave her a second chance. That is not true. Just so you all know, that is not true. Pastor forgot, and my wife says I have a one-track mind and I can't do two things at once, and clearly that was evident last week when Jody was standing here jumping up and down, and I did not give her a chance to read the words she loves. So thank you, Jody. We are in Ephesians chapter 5 as we finish our journey, very quick journey through this wonderful letter. What did I say? 1 Thessalonians? Ephesians, and that's next year. 1 Thessalonians, I got such a loving family. 1 Thessalonians, so it's a good time to tell you that we will begin Ephesians in the new year. That's what I meant to say, and we're going to end today, 1 Thessalonians. Natalie's not convinced that I can get through this, but I believe we're going to end today, and then Chris is going to bring the word next week. Then we're going to spend some time in the book of Daniel for about 4 or 5 weeks, taking some lessons from Daniel. Then we will move into our Advent season. Yes, it's hard to believe the Advent season is upon us. And then we will begin our 9-year study in Ephesians, starting in the beginning of the year. I'm going to do something different today now that I have found the right book. If you will look in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, where Jody was just reading, it is our hope that you all have your Bibles, but at least you have a way to follow on your phone so that you can be looking at the Word and not at me, that you'll be following along. But I want to do something a little bit different. We're going to focus on verses 23 and 24, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. And what we're going to do is I'm going to pray as we always do to begin our time in the Word. And we're going to allow this prayer, which is a prayer of Paul for the Thessalonian church, I'm going to read it in such a way to be a prayer for us to start our time in the Word. And then I think I would like to close our time in the Word by reading this prayer again. Just as a note, one of the most beautiful ways you can learn to pray, one of the most beautiful ways you can pray, is to simply pray God's word. And so let's just listen along as I pray for us from 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. This is our prayer today, folks. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify us completely. God, you are the God of peace. And you have promised to sanctify us, and you've promised to do it completely. Father, may our entire spirit, soul, and body, all of us, be kept blameless when you return at your coming, Lord. Father, may we be ready for your return. Father, we are waiting expectantly for your return. May we be found ready and blameless because of your spirit. Lord, you are the one who has called us. Lord, your word, our lives, our testimony tell us that you are faithful. And because you are faithful, you have promised to do it. Father, would you make us holy as individuals, as a church family, collectively your body, Father, may you sanctify us. May you make us blameless upon your return. May you keep your word, and may you do it because you're faithful here at Perry Hall Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What a beautiful thought, huh? I pray that families, you would adopt that kind of prayer in your households, that you would see this as an opportunity. Dads, leaders of homes, moms, maybe single folks with kids, or all of us, may you be praying that God would make you holy. Would you pray that God would do an incredible work, his work of sanctifying us? And we're going to talk more about that. But that we would be kept blameless at his coming. And so I pray that you'll join me in making this a prayer that we go to often. So now we finish this wonderful letter, and we have recognized that throughout this letter, Paul has had a theme of the Lord's coming. There are 89 verses in the ESV in the book of 1 Thessalonians. 89 verses. As far as I can tell, upwards of 22 of those verses relate to the Lord's return. So we have a sense in which Paul has made it a theme of this letter to this early church in Greece about the Lord's return. But if you're a good math person, you'll recognize out of 89 verses, if 22 of them are about the Lord's return and spread throughout chapter 1, verse 3, verse 10, chapter 2, verse 12, chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 4, verse 13, 18, chapter 5, 1 to 10, and verse 23, those were the 8 references in 1 Thessalonians to the coming of the Lord and some extended passages. But of 89 verses, 22 have to do with the coming of the Lord. That leaves mathematicians 67, I think. 67 verses that are about how to live in light of the Lord's return. The Lord is coming again, praise God. And it sure seems that his return is imminent, and it should be our expectation to live that way. But Paul spends more, I think it's more than 75% of the book on how to live in light of his return. And so as we've done this very much a big picture view of 1 Thessalonians, that's why we only took 6 months or whatever it was. We've looked in chapter 1 of the characteristics, and you don't need to take this down, this is just review, characteristics of a faithful church. In chapter 2, we've looked at the characteristics of a genuine spiritual leader. Chapter 3, we looked at the characteristics of a pastor's heart. Chapter 4, we looked at the characteristics of a life that is pleasing to God. And now we have focused in on these final exhortations in chapter 5. That is all review. And so these last few verses, as Paul continues his exhortations, it's ironic that I spent, before going into ministry, many years in the business world, over 20 years, and it's in God's timing that my former boss, who was my boss for 20 years and came up and said hello this morning, he used to tell me that when you read someone's letter, when somebody sends you an email or a letter, always pay attention to the last thing they wrote. And it was so true over the years, as people would write, or even as I would write, something that I really wanted to say would be the last part of that email or that letter. Well, you get the impression that Paul has a lot to say and he's run out of time, it seems. And Paul is giving these 17 or so exhortations at the end of 1 Thessalonians. He just rapid fire. So let me pick up with just a few of those before we get to where our focus is, which is verses 23 and 24. You'll see it happens again in 16. In verses 12 and 13, he talks about our relationship with our leaders. In verses 14 and 15, he talks about our relationship to one another. In verses 16 to 22, he talks about our relationship directly to the Lord. And now he takes verses 16 to 22, and he gives 8 imperatives, commands, 8 of them in a row, starting with verse 16. Let me just read them briefly. Verse 16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Number 2, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Then in verse 19, do not quench or resist the Spirit or stifle the Spirit or thwart the Spirit or grieve the Spirit. Verse 20, do not despise prophecies. Test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Isn't it interesting? 8 imperatives, commands, rapid fire. And we covered some of this in a sermon just a couple months ago on pray without ceasing. But Paul is just one after another, exhortations. This is what it looks like to worship and your devotion to God, that we would be people that rejoice always. In any circumstance, Paul's fond of the phrase, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, that we would pray without ceasing, which speaks to a posture, it speaks to an attitude, it speaks to a lifestyle, it speaks to dependence, it speaks to this sense of persevering in prayer. Joyful always, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, be thankful in all circumstances. Listen to the way that these three go together. Christians, now, joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. This is not something you have to look for. If you are a believer, you find joy in all circumstances, and that does not mean all circumstances are joyous. It means you find joy in all circumstances. You pray all the time. I forget who was in my office this week. We were talking about pray without ceasing, and I took the phone off of the hook, and I sat it there, and I said, this is a good picture. Not that you would sit the phone down if you were talking directly to God. I get that. But think of the picture of the phone is always, the line is always open, this pray without ceasing. There's this new game. There's always a new game on your phone's apps. Does anybody know of a new game called Connections? See, you don't know nothing. This game gives 16 words. It's a box, 16 words. All the words are related in groups of 4. So 4 of the 16 words relate to one another, 4 more words, and you try to make the connections and you only get 3 guesses. There's somebody trying to play it now. So we play this as a family. I get home at night, could be 9 o'clock. Josh says, Dad, did you play Connections today? No, let's do it together. He says, I already did, and I didn't get any. Or I look at it for an hour, my kids are done, and I didn't get any. And some of this has to do with our age, I think. But last night, one of the connections, the four words, cord, doll, cradle, and handset. Now, you folks that are a little bit older, you all know, what are they connected? The old rotary phone. My son Josh, who really thinks he's smart, he didn't know squat. What is a cradle and a phone have to... I got it right away. He couldn't get it all night. It's all right. It's all right, Josh. Let me show you the connection between joy, pray without ceasing, and gratitude in all things. Quoting another preacher, when joy and prayer got married, the first child was gratitude. Think of that. When we combine the joy that comes only found in Christ for those that have been saved and changed and have a new love of their lives, joy in all circumstances, James 1:2, count it all joy, brothers. Pray without ceasing, being a constant openness between you and the Lord in this conversation. And then watch the gratitude that flows. A gratitude and a thanksgiving in all circumstances, at least in this verse, although I think in other places it would be different. Be grateful or thankful in all circumstances did not necessarily say be thankful for all circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances. He then moves quickly from this devotion to God and really the benchmark of the hallmarks of a believer being joyful and praying without ceasing, which is relationship, and being grateful in all things, which means no complaining, means contentment, means that in my life, and I may be crazy, I don't ask the why questions, and I know all of us do, because it's normal and we want to know why, and I understand that. I've reached a point because of what the scripture says, and you can say I'm crazy or not, but why doesn't matter to me anymore, because God does not have to give me an explanation. I am confident that he loves me so much that he is turning everything in my life, all circumstances, everything that I've experienced. I believe God loves me so much, he is turning them to my good for his glory. You get there, folks, and it changes your life. Then he goes on to talk about the scriptures by saying, do not quench the spirit. Do not stifle. Some translations in multiple places, this word is, do not put out the flame or the fire of the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. And remember, folks, prophecy is not always foretelling the future. It is more often than not, as a matter of fact, nearly 70% of the time, it is simply preaching the truth. Forthtelling, not foretelling. And he goes on to say that when you hear preaching, do not despise it, do not have contempt for it, but to test it and hold it, hold firm to the truth and avoid falsehoods. All that is this rapid fire succession of exhortations, and it brings us right back to this prayer. Now look at the prayer with me one more time, and that will be our outline. Verse 23 again. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Isn't it beautiful? Folks, this is really good. That Paul's entire letter has been, remember, living in light of the Lord's return. In other words, because the Lord is going to return soon, we want to be found ready and serving, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. We want to be prepared But he puts together in this first verse the summation of the entire letter by saying, live in light of the Lord's return. And I want to focus on that word, live, the Lord is coming. This, I believe, is a beautiful ending to this book. Live, that's how you and I live now, because the Lord is coming. And both of them show up in verse 23, that we would be set apart by God himself, that we would be holy, and that we would be blameless at the coming of the Lord. Living in light of his return, and this beautiful benedictory prayer, as Paul closes out the letter, is the summation of everything we learned. If the Lord is the Lord of your life, he is your Savior, you know Jesus Christ, you've been born again, You've trusted him, you've repented of your sins, and you've run to him in faith, then you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, then the natural outcome of that is that you live your life in light of his soon return. And the life that we live in light of that soon return is a life of holiness. And so we have put chapter 5, for those that have been here for the last 4 weeks, we've said it is a radical life, it is a loving life, and now we're looking at it as a holy life. Back to verse 23, and now your outline. Hopefully you all have one of these. This is your outline. And please remember to grab them as you come in if that would be helpful to you. It's helpful to me, so I know where we're going. And so here is the outline, starting with point number one, this idea of set apart for his purposes. Set apart for his purposes. Number two, transformed into his likeness and assured of his promises. Number one, set apart. Back to verse 23. Now may the God of peace. I found it interesting, JJ, that you picked out the word peace. Shalom, peace, irene. It's interesting that every time I look at the word transliterated into the English, it is tough for me to remember that it's pronounced irene. Pretty close? I'm very much on my toes with a Bible translator in the room. I'm not nearly going to quote as much Greek today. Now may the God of peace, irene. This is more from my perspective, folks. This is more, we'll get into point one in a second. This is more than simply a casual greeting. The peace to you, peace, brother. This is normal greeting. Even much of the Middle East and Europe, this peace. This is deeper. Paul uses this in Romans 15:33, Romans 16:20, for instance. He uses it again in Philippians 4:9. It even shows up in Hebrews in the same way, giving some people a confirmation of their reason to believe. Paul wrote Hebrews. That's for another day. The God of peace. This is a settled peace. This is more than simply calm. We'd all like peace in our houses. We'd like peace in the world, wouldn't we? That's a good prayer. But this is a settled peace. This has more to do with those that were enemies and have been reconciled to God because of Jesus Christ. We have peace with Christ. This is the God of peace. And now hear this incredible way that Paul starts this prayer. Now may the God of peace himself. Now, this seems out of order. May the God of peace himself. This in Greek, autos, A-U-T-O-S. This sits here because Paul is emphasizing that this point number one, being set apart for his purposes, and even point number two, being transformed in his likeness. Why the word himself? Because, folks, it is God who's going to do this transforming work as he set us apart for his purposes. Set apart. The word here, hagiadzo in the Greek, 28 times for sanctify, by the way, for sanctify. It means to be set apart. There's two primary meanings for this in the Bible. And words associated with holy, sanctified. We are all saints. You've heard that before? Holy ones, set apart, saints, comes from the same word. We are set apart for his purposes. Now, throughout the Bible, God uses this phrase holy for things that are set apart. He talks about a man, when he becomes a priest, has been set apart. When he talks about the altar made holy, it has been set apart. Even in one of the prophetic books, I think is Zechariah, it ends with the pots and the pans being sanctified or set apart, made holy. Dear ones, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ here today, praise God, you have been made holy, set apart. Is that wonderful or what? You've been set apart for his purposes. And so once again, we've come to this place in Scripture where the word sanctify or sanctification being the noun, I know that's a big word, but just bear with me. It means to be set apart, to be holy. But this word sanctification has a past, a present, and a future aspect that is very, very important. Just like salvation, we have been saved. We are being saved until one day, praise the Lord, he will save us perfectly and forever. That does not mean you can lose salvation along the way. It has nothing to do with that. It simply means there's a present and an ongoing and a future aspect. Same with this sanctification, which I'm going to explain a little bit more, but I want you to see, you were sanctified when you became a believer. 1 Corinthians 1:2, sanctified. You are sanctified, not will be, you are. 1 Corinthians 6:11, 1 Corinthians 7:14, you are sanctified. You have been set apart. But you're also in the process, as I am, of being set apart, being made holy. This is what you might call the progressive, not to be confused with progressive theology. There is a progression in our sanctification. Did anybody realize in the room as a believer that you're not done yet? I'm glad that 50% knew that. You are a work in progress. Some of you are tougher works. I'm one of those. But by God's grace and love for me, he has set me apart. And he is changing me progressively. And so there's this first aspect of the set apart. And another place you'll see the same word, you say, I don't remember it being translated. Our Father who art in heaven, sanctified is thy name. It doesn't say that, does it? Almost every translation says what? Hallowed. To be treated as holy, to be revered. That his name would be different. Same word. One of the 28 New Testament uses. So if we're all set apart, progress positionally, who we are, we're being made holy throughout our lives, which is point number two. Listen, there's also a future aspect of this. Paul tells us in Romans 8, 29 and 30, that what the work that he has done, we will ultimately be glorified. You've been set apart. You're being made holy. Practically, progressively, and then there's going to be a time where the work is finished and you're going to be glorified, past tense. I hope you're picking up the beauty of God's security of his believers, that his children, he will finish the work. So first we've been set apart. Secondly, we have that we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Turn with me to just a few passages, 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, says Paul to the Corinthian church in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, verse 18, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, look, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Praise God for that. We're being changed. Remember in Romans chapter 12, and if you could turn to Romans 8, right now as another resource there. Romans 8:28, Romans 8:29. I want to show you one more place. But in Romans 12, remember, I think many of you have memorized Romans 12:1. I beseech you there, that's King James, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Then what does it say in verse 2? And be not conformed to this world, but what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind through this blessed word. But now Romans 8. Pick up in verse 28 after this incredible verse of God working all things together for good. In verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. One more time. To be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. By the way, it's the next verse that speaks of the end of the game. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, what? He glorified. He finished. Folks, we have been set apart for his purposes. Not my purposes, his purposes. My life is given to him, and your life is a sacrifice for God to have his way in our lives. But not only did he set us apart so as believers, that's who we are. It cannot be changed. We are settled and secure in our relationship with God forever. But he has work to do. We've been sanctified, we've been set apart, but he's now making you and me holy, different. He is transforming us. I hope you can look in the mirror, or if you take 2 Corinthians 13:5, for instance, and it says, examine yourselves. I pray that when you take that look, and we should do it often, boy, praise God, I'm seeing some change in my life. I would even go so far as to say when God changes a person's heart, he changes the person gradually but clearly. Gradually but clearly. What I mean by that, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, and he's done this work of a miracle of regenerating and giving us a new heart, then I believe that starts to slowly but surely, and some for others, quickly flesh out in a new life, in new loves, in new priorities. And maybe we could say it this way. I heard a pastor from the 20th century, Scottish pastor. He asked his congregation, "What would you say is the greatest need we have as believers?" What is the greatest need? And some of you would come up with different answers, and they'd be fine. This pastor believed that the greatest need that you and I have as believers is for God to do a work in each of us greater than he's ever done before. Now, I'm not talking in the blessings you receive, material or those kinds. I'm talking about at the core level. This pastor was making the point that the greatest need, anybody sitting in your day, anybody listening online, the greatest need I have, let's put it that way, if you don't want to get mad at you'll get mad at me or whatever, is that God would come and do an even greater work in Dave Moyer's life in making me more and more holy. In other words, making me more and more like Christ. Do you think that's a pretty good idea of a need? You might have come up with a lot of others, and they may be good, but this is where it starts, that there be a change in Dave Moyer daily as God continues to make me more and more like Christ. He is transforming me. So you've been set apart by the work of the Spirit. You're being changed. Now we come to the last one, which is beautiful. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5. This is such a wonderful way to finish. in a sense, we come to this end of our journey in 1 Thessalonians. We come to this prayer of Paul, which, by the way, very closely, as a matter of fact, since we're in 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 3, verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11 says, now, this is 1 Thessalonians, now may our God and Father himself, sound familiar? May our God and Father himself, our Lord Jesus, direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, and look how he ties it again, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that same theme? But did you pick up, maybe JJ did, did you pick up on what changed in the prayer I just read in verses 11 to 13 and chapter 5, verses 22 and 23? Something has changed in the way Paul addresses them. If you notice in verse 11 to 13 of chapter 3, it is the church. He's praying for the church. In chapter 5, I believe that there's a change to us as individuals who make up the church. Look at how he says it in chapter 5, verse 23. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. I believe that is a prayer for the people in the church at Thessalonica, to the individuals. That we can go back there another time, but I think that's different. By the way, this is a beautiful piece here in verse 23. May the God of peace sanctify you. How much? How much does he need to sanctify us? See that word completely? Your translations may have NIV says through and through. In entirety. It means that God in his work of transforming us into the image of Christ is changing every area of our lives. You won't raise your hand on this one. How many of you are holding some areas apart from the Lord? He can change this area, Bill. He can change that area. But I got this area. I'm going to keep that one for myself. I know the Lord wants me to do this, this, and this, but that one is not for me. And yet, there is this beautiful picture of a word that means whole and end, as an E-N-D. This Greek word completely, that it's interesting. It's only used here in the entire New Testament here, this one word. And it's interesting that it combines two words to be whole, W-H-O-L-E, whole, and telos, end, purpose, completely. You that know me well or have known me for some time know that of all the Bible verses that I love, one stands out to me above all others. And it's not even in Isaiah 6, so don't give me all that. By the way, did I tell you that Isaiah 6 says, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty? Never mind. That is true. It's that he is holy. When he transforms us, he's making us holy. We are holy. He's making us holy. Holy, holy, holy. God is the perfect. It's his moral glory, his moral purity, his perfections. My favorite verse is not there. That's second. Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. This is the third point. We are positionally holy, set apart for his purposes. We are being transformed daily to be like Jesus, to be holy, to be different, to be other, to be pure, to be kept blameless. But I finish with the last point because this makes my day. That this work that God is doing in Dave's life and in your life, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he has promised to complete it. Amen. He will finish what he, look at the way Paul says it. Verse 24 says, he who calls you, that's salvation. God calls you to salvation. We respond in faith and repentance and faith. He who calls you is what? Faithful. This is the character of God, is that he is faithful. He said this to Moses in Exodus 34:6, when the glory of God went before Moses. Remembering God had to hide Moses in the cleft of the rock. And his glory passed before Moses. And one of the things he said, he is faithful. Lamentations 3:22-23 that we all know because we sing it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. It is, folks, who he is. We do not have to trust the ebb and flow of life. We do not have to trust my feelings and my emotions. I do not have to trust all the things that come in and confuse us, and even the work of the end. You know what I trust? The integrity of God, who says that what he has said he would do, he will do it. And this verse blows away any kind of thinking that says a true believer can lose their salvation. And I don't say that because I want to pick on somebody. I say it because God is faithful. And he accomplishes what he has set out to do. Folks, this is reason to be joyful, to pray without ceasing, to be grateful, because God is going to... Don't you like the way that Paul uses the word? He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen. So just a couple thoughts, folks, in closing. I've put some questions on the back for you to reflect upon on your own time. But let me give you just one or two. If you have made a decision, you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have given up all hope in yourself and in what you do, but you trust in what he has done, the work on the cross. So that, if that's you and you've repented from your sins, if you've run directly into his saving, loving arms, does your life exhibit a further work of God in changing you in how you live? You've been changed at the heart level. Would your life, as you examine it today, give evidence that God is transforming you? I had a friend tell me recently, we've been studying the Bible for 30 years together. Can you imagine that, studying the Bible with one person for 30 years? He said, what if my life has not changed since the day one? That's pretty fair, transparent. So we had a chance to talk about why is that the case? What do you really believe? Which one of the spiritual disciplines are you practicing to help and be a part of God working in your life? Now, last thought. This work of sanctification, folks, unlike salvation, which is God's work completely, no one adds to their salvation. Sanctification is also a work of God, as I just read. But why did he give all those exhortations? Love your pastors, pray for them, support them, admonish one another, encourage the faint-hearted. Why did he say help the weak? Why did he say be at peace among yourselves? Why did he say everybody be patient? Why did he say not taking vengeance into your own hand, but forgiving one another? Why did he say be joyful, pray without ceasing? Why did he say be grateful or thankful in everything? Why did he say be quench not the spirit? Why all these exhortations? Because there is a part that we play. There is a call in our lives that we are cooperating as God through His Spirit is changing us. We are also called to be responsible to live holy lives. He is making us holy and we are called to live holy. And the verses that would back that up perfectly is Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then it says, who does the work? For it is God who works to will and to give the power. The change is Him. And we are living with everything we've got, knowing that our Heavenly Father is working with us and more powerfully than us to make us the men and women He wants us to be. And if we reach a point like my friend where we say, I've been a Christian for my whole life and there is no difference in my life, I still fight the same things. And by the way, this verse, this is proof that the Christian doesn't become perfect when they get saved. That's one of the points. It's a continued journey with Christ as He's gradually changing us. It's not like this that you hear people talk about, well, I am sanctified, meaning I am perfect and I no longer sin, and they just lied, ruining that theory. This is God's work. And He will do it for His glory and for our good. May you examine yourselves and may I examine myself and to say, Lord, is my life demonstrate that I've been set apart and I am being made holy? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful passage and the wonderful truth and the exhortations that you have put at the tip of Paul's pen. Father, thank you for the way in which you have made this so clearly relevant to this local body in the year 2023. Father, thank you for the promise of your faithfulness, that the work that you started, the work that you continue to do by the sanctifying of our lives by your Spirit, you have promised to complete because you are faithful. Father, may this bring great encouragement to us today. May we definitely rejoice. May it draw us to our knees in dependent prayer. And oh, Father, may we be the most grateful people in the world. And may the result of that gratitude lead to lives that have been changed. And Father, may it lead to a desire to share this wonderful news of what Jesus did, what the Spirit continues to do, and what God promises to accomplish. May that lead us to tell others about you today. Father, may the gospel be on the edge or the tip of our tongue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, let's stand together.
Morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Spirit, free and one, God.
If you were encouraged by the testimony of JJ and Kathy in Bible translation, and it causes you ladies in particular to say, I'm not in a Bible study, I need to join one, got good news. Laurel Summers is beginning her new Bible study, and she would love to have you. It's online on Tuesday evenings. The Sacred, I think they call themselves the Sacred Sisterhood of Wonderful Wacky Women. I think my eyes are telling me the truth there. And this new study is called Abide. So ladies, if you thought today, I've really got to connect with some ladies, I can't get out all the time, I can do it online, please do that. Secondly, in closing, many of you have not bought your tickets to this family affair on Wednesday at Beachmont. If indeed our study of 1 Thessalonians has taught us anything, it is that we are a family. And people tell me, I want more opportunities to hang out. Wednesday at Beachmont, we're going to hang out. If you need tickets and you need money, then we'll get you the tickets if that's the issue. But please sign up. And I know you're all waiting for the weather. Well, guess what? It's no longer something you can wait for, because the forecast for Wednesday is an absolutely gorgeous fall night. So these ticket sales need to change. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of you there. Last thought, Pastor Chris will be out in the hallway to greet you. We want to spend some time trying to make sure we shake as many hands as possible. So Chris, when I pray, run out there. Don't miss anybody. Father, what a joy it is to be together as your family today. May they forgive the pastor for his humor. But Father, may we see your word in a different way today. May we be excited about what your word teaches. May we be excited about the way you're changing us. And may we be excited that you promised to do it. And may we be so excited we want to tell others. Take us out of here, Lord, for our good and for your glory. Work through us today deeper than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.